Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn in our Bibles to 3 John chapter 1 as we learn how to steward our health.
What do we learn from Elijah when you're depleted and when you're down? Notice first of all, he took some time for some solitude. He needed some time to recuperate from having been battling for so long spiritually. And what a tremendous lesson that is in and of itself. I was looking at a Charlie Brown comic, and if you've been around Lancaster Baptist for very long, you know I get a lot of my doctrine from Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown, he's having one of these times in his life. I mean, he was at the bottom of the juniper tree, and he's sharing his feelings with Lucy, and he says, I can't help it. I feel so lonely and depressed. And you know, Lucy, if you ever read any of these comics, she did not have the gift of mercy, right? Lucy says, Charlie Brown, that's ridiculous. You should be ashamed of yourself. You've got the whole world to live in. There's beauty all around you. There's things to do, things to be accomplished. No man trods on this earth alone. We are all together, one generation taking up with another generation to do great things. Charlie Brown said, you're right, Lucy. You are exactly right. You've made me see things differently. I realize now that I am a part of this world. I am not alone. I have friends. And Lucy looked at Charlie Brown and said, name one. Now, sometimes you get to that place where, you know, your one friend isn't even your friend. And you're at the bottom of the juniper tree and you don't know what to do. And so Elijah teaches us you need to get some time alone with God. You need to rest. Look at verse 5. We're going to see more about rest in a moment. But he laid down and he slept under that juniper tree. And some of you, you're about to have a heart attack. I went to a Baptist church and they told me to sleep. What in the world? What kind of doctrine? But that's what God wanted him to do. He slept. Notice thirdly, he received nourishment. It says the angel in verse 5 touched him and said, arise and eat. And notice he took the cake and the water and he did eat. And he did drink. And notice in verse 8 that eating and drinking sustained him for his journey. Now, we could look at many other instances, but in the Scriptures, we see that the diet was meant for the nourishment of the servant of God. Notice secondly with me this morning, not only do we need a plan for nourishment, not only do we need to consider that in the light of Scripture, but I believe secondly we need a plan in our lives for margin in our schedules. I believe today more than ever in our society, we need to plan schedules that have God right in the middle of them and that allow for margin in our lives that will get us focused on His will and allow us physically to be what God has designed for us. Now you say, Pastor Chappell, why do you say that? Well, this past year I read a book that helped me tremendously, written by a Christian doctor. It was entitled Margin by Dr. Swenson. And in the book, he brought out something I already knew. How many of you know some of the best books you read, you kind of already knew a lot of it, but they put it together well for you. And in this book, he talked about the problem in America that we often call overload, the overload problem. And I want you to think about these types of overload I've put in your notes and how we express those. Sometimes we talk about activity overload. We're booked up in advance for weeks and months at a time, constantly busy. Then there's change overload. Nothing defines us, one historian said, like the furious and relentless increase of the rate of change in our society. Styles change, technology change, kids change, cities change, governments change. You can't hardly keep up with all the change in life. Then there's the choice overload. In 1980, there were 12,000 items available at Ralph's supermarket. And this year, there are 30,000 items in the average supermarket that are for sale. And we got to keep up with all that and which one's better and which one's cheaper and all of the choice overload. Then there's commitment overload. Dr. Grant Howard said, some people are trying to be all things to all men all at once, all by themselves. And it seems like there's just so many things that pull for our attention. Then there's debt overload. Currently, every sector of society is awash in red ink, and people are living now more than ever with debt overload. There's decision overload, so many decisions to make every single day. There's expectation overload. We are now expected to be available for all people at all times. Keep that beeper on, keep that phone on, put it right by your bed. Make sure you're always available. You can even text now, they tell you, during church. Wrong. Just checking. Turn your phone off. We're in church. There's fatigue overload and oftentimes attacking one's emotions, one's body, one's relationship. There's hurry overload. You ever notice people never say, I must sit, I must stand, I must pray. Normally we say this at the end of the conversation, hey, I got to run. I got to get going. Hey, we've got to run. Hurry overload. There's information overload. A single edition of the New York Times contains more information than a typical Britisher would ever have encountered in the 17th century in his entire lifetime, and it's in one day's paper. There is noise overload. There's people overload. Depersonalization and rudeness every which way. There is possession overload. Look it. We have more things today than people have ever had in their lives. We have stuff in our garage. We have stuff in our attic. We have stuff in storage bins where we rent out to keep track of all the things that we may never even see the rest of our lives, but we've got to keep it. Oh, it's important that we keep it. There's technology overload. I'm told that the average American will have to learn how to operate 20,000 pieces of equipment in his lifetime. Traffic overload, work overload. It goes on and on and on. And overload eventually plays a major role in stressing and affecting our bodies adversely. Now, I'm not one of these guys that blames every illness on being busy. I'm just saying overload is the reality of many people's lives. And the answer to overload is biblical margin. And margin is created through scheduling your life according to biblical priorities. Now, I want you to look at this definition of margin. It helped me, and I want it to help you. And then I'll show you scripturally how to set margin in your life. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. It is the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. It is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing and freely and suffocating. And so here we consider the importance of margin. And we consider the fact that what God has given me is sustainable. And we consider the scripture, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God will with it make a way of escape. So how many of you believe that God is going to give you enough grace to get done what he wants you to get done? All right? And he's going to do that and allow you to have margin even for some of the unexpected things in your life. How do you live with margin in your life so that stress is not taking its toll on your body like a car that never has had a change of oil? Well, I want you to see two principles this morning. Letter A, we need to schedule quiet time with God. Now, some of you have gotten into this idea and you live on this urgency addiction and this adrenaline addiction to the point that you think if you stop to have prayer and if you read your Bible, the whole world's going to get messed up. You're not going to get done what you need to get done if you take time. And I'm telling you this morning, you've got to have time sitting at Jesus' feet if there's going to be real margin and space in your life. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, Jesus teaches us that there's so much to get done that we need to start it all by getting with him and saying, Lord, tell me what matters most today. Tell me where you want me to spend my time today and your life today. And spend time at the feet of Jesus. Listen, my friend, there is a trap called drivenness that will drive you away from Jesus, and it should drive you to Jesus. One great theologian said, I have so much to do today, I must spend 4 hours in prayer before I attempt doing the rest. Putting the big rock in the jar first. The answer is not always trying harder, but to comprehend the work of the cross and to live with a vital awareness of the grace and wisdom of God in your life every single day. Schedule quiet time with God. Secondly, schedule time for God-given priorities. So you say, Lord, what matters most to you today? What do you want me to focus on today? What are the things that you want me to really spend time on in this day? Now, some of you have heard of Vilfredo Pareto. You've heard of the Pareto principle, maybe 20% of the people do 80% of the work, 20% of the people give 80% of the money, 20% of the people do 80% of these things, and so forth. And maybe you've heard that over the years. It's called the Pareto principle. It's a principle that this Italian economist studied, and I believe it's fairly accurate in my studies of life and involvement in various projects. For example, about 20% of how a person spends his time yields about 80% of the fruit of that time, or even his income. About 20% of a person's mail is important. About 80% of it is junk. About 20% of what we own is absolutely essential for our life and for our comfort. About 80% of it is in excess. And so what we do with God is we say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Show me where to spend my quality time. How can I pursue life in a way that will please you? And we say, Lord, I want to have you help me focus in on the main goals of life that are pleasing to you. Too many Christians are spending their time frivolously, wasting 80% of their time on nothingness. And God says, I want you to focus your time in on that which matters most. There will always be time for the will of God in your life. Now, Jesus taught this principle in John 4:34. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus, our ultimate example, said, look, what I want to do is the will of God the Father, the one that sent me. And that's what we say every day. God, what do you want me to do today? How can I focus on what matters most today? Jesus said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So you say, Lord, I want health and vitality and wisdom, not so I can sit around watching Starsky and Hutch and Love Boat all day, but so that I can do your will today. Jesus said in John 4, I must needs go through Samaria, because that day was the day when the woman at the well was going to be saved. And he had a purpose in mind that day to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. If you begin your day saying, Lord, I want you to show me what matters most today, And I want you, Lord, to help me put godly margin in my life so that I don't waste my life on the trivial, Lord. I want to invest in that which matters most, the kinds of things that when I stand before you someday, I'll be glad I spent my life doing those things. Lord, show me what those things are. And I'm going to tell you something. When you live your life that way, when you put in your life those things that are really, really important from the Lord, you're going to find that it will be easy to say no to the bowling league and the bridge club and all the rest of the stuff this life offers you. It's easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. When you are convinced in your heart, today I will spend time with my wife, and today I will spend time with my God, and today I'll take my seventh grade daughter to McDonald's, and today I'll take my ninth grade son and help him with his math, and today I will spend time in the Bible. And when you are convinced that that is God's will for your life and you place those godly margins in your life, then it will be easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. And even the Son of Man taught us this in his schedule. He oftentimes said, let us pull apart. And many times great leaders will attribute their success not to things they said yes to, but to things they said no to as they centered in on the main thing that God had for their life. Now, I want to give you four suggestions today about four main priorities from Scripture that all of us need to make sure are there in our lives so that the other things don't rob our time. First, you need to make sure you have a real walk with God. I'm talking about where you open this book and say, God, speak to me. I'm talking about when you pray to Him. I'm talking about a real time with God each and every day. Second, you need to make sure that you have time with your family. No one ever gets to age 60 or 70 and says, wow, I wish I had more time with my boss making those trips and those TDYs and wish I could have given some more time to my company. But nearly everyone says, I wish I would have had more time with my children. Take this message to heart today and put into your life the big rocks into the jar. Care for your family. Thirdly, labor at work. Every one of us have opportunity to work, and this is a priority of life. If a man does not work, the Bible says he should not eat, and labor at that. And when you're there, give it 110%. But let me tell you something. Your job should not be the idol you bow down to. Your work should not be the idol. Your vocation should not be the God of life. Fellas, we get this mixed up. We find our identity in our work success, in our salary amount, in our job title, in where our office is. We find our identity in how many stripes we have on our shoulder or how many people answer to us. We need to be very careful of that subtle trap and realize that job is a means to an end. And the end is to glorify God. And the end is to support your family. And the end is to support missionaries. And the end is to do whatever God wants you to do. Listen, we don't live to work. We live to glorify God, you see. So when you're at work, you be the best employee and employer there. But when you're away from work, recognize you don't spend that rest time, that margin time, doing everything still for work. And spend some time on these priorities, God, your family. And then number four, don't forget the priority of worshiping and serving God. You know, a lot of Christians, they view church attendance and Bible reading as an appendage that they want to cut off themselves. They say, that's right, Pastor Chappell, I need some margin. I'll be at Yosemite the next 17 Sundays worshiping God my way. And they're missing out on the whole thing. They're missing out on the fact that we need to hear from God and open our hearts to the Lord and not let the incidental things of this life crowd out the most important things of our life. And so every one of us need to make sure that we have biblical priorities that allow for the margin that God intends in our lives each and every day. So we eat for nourishment, we plan for margin and for spiritual priorities in our life. That means cutting out sometimes the frivolities of this life and focusing on what matters most. Then I want you to see thirdly, as we consider this subject of stewarding health today, God gives us a third principle in the Bible, and it's called rest. Rest for replenishment. Now, I know some of you guys that are 20 and 30, you're going to sleep right through this, right? Some of you guys are like, rest? Come on, man, let's go play tackle football. We'll just take notes on this and pull it out later in life, okay? But I want you to listen to this because rest is one of God's great principles for His people. And it's a key, I believe, to having strength for the journey that God gives to us. So look at Exodus 23, 12. God says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. All right, so again, someone goes, hey, that's Old Testament. I love it when people say that. Excuse me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Sabbath, we don't worship on the Sabbath. We don't go to church on Saturday. You're right. Congratulations. You're a scholar. We're here on Sunday celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday. By the way, how many of you are glad we serve a risen Savior? Amen. But just because we don't worship on Saturday doesn't mean that the biblical principle of Sabbath rest is annulled. God says, I want you to have a day of rest. Now, in recent months, I've gotten serious about that to the point that I've said to our staff, look, I want to make sure that if someone in our church ministry drives a bus or teaches a class or they're throwing hours of themselves into ministry on Sunday, that they're not spending all day Saturday doing a bunch of ministry stuff, except maybe for a great occasional time here and there. They need to have a day of rest, focusing on the Lord, focusing on their family, maybe a day when they sleep in just a little bit. I want to make sure that we focus on biblical priority. You see, Gordon MacDonald said something I think is very helpful. He said, we do not rest because our work is done. We rest because God commanded it and created us to have a need for it. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't understand this for a long, long time. I'm still learning. But if you have to wait till everything's done to take a day off, you're never going to take a day off. If you have to wait till everything's done to rest, you're just flat not going to rest. So we don't rest because, oh, good, everything's crossed off my to-do list. Nothing's ever completely crossed off my to-do list. I'm not going to rest, and you're not going to rest because everything's done. You're going to do it because God said do it. And take the time to pull apart, focus on Him, and focus on the matter of rest. So rest. Now, we rest for the matter of replenishment. So let me give you a few thoughts about rest. I think you've seen God says, I want you to have rest. Notice letter A, physical rest then should be planned. Physical rest should be planned. Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. I like the phrase desert place. God does some good things in desert places. He said, come apart into a desert place. Hey, stop complaining about living in a desert place. Say, well, Pastor, the wind blows. We have to buy a lot of hairspray out here. Oh, my soul. I don't have to. I mean, come on. You know? Oh, I know that. I know that sometimes we joke about that. But the desert place, Jesus said, hey, let's get away. You know what he's saying? Let's get away from all the cares of this world, fellas. He's saying to his disciples, let's go to a desert place. And notice what he says, and let's rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now, let me just encourage you to plan some times of rest. It might be Saturday morning. It might be, you know, some other day. I don't know your schedule. But plan it appropriately. Make sure, you know, so many people watch adrenaline-pumping newscasts and movies, you know, and they're watching sci-fi horror flicks, and then they try to go to sleep. You know, you watch about the latest Al-Qaeda murders and, you know, Watts riots and who's taking drugs and killing each other, and then you try to go to sleep. And I believe that rest is God-ordained and that we need to take some time to wind down. I know at our house, especially on Saturday night, boy, we just start winding down early.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.